As we gather today, it's not at all unlike the message that we just heard in today's Holy Gospel. The scene that took place outside the place where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived. And on his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother and to spend time with them. Sort of like what we did from 1 to 2 today, a visitation time. Only the Jewish people called it sitting Shiva. And you'd bring fruit baskets, or you'd come and you'd sit and you'd pray. There were tears, but usually it was a celebration. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And then Jesus said to her, and listen carefully to these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now we find ourselves celebrating the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world by such a miraculous way, and of all places, a manger, forever changed history, simply by being there. Emmanuel, God with us, among his people. Now I have to tell you, I have the privilege of knowing Warren for a little over 4 years that I've been here in Douglas. Shortly after I arrived, in October of 2014, one of our members, Colin Toogood, who is here today, he and his wife Sandra, who was our church secretary, they drove down from South Carolina to be here today. He regularly visited Warren, since there was no regular priest here, and he brought him Holy Communion. And he came to me one day and says, I've got a guy I want you to meet. Okay. I heard about his love for working with wood, but more importantly, about the love for his family. As I met Warren, he instantly recognized from my voice, from my accent, that I'm not from around here originally. And he told me that he was from Massachusetts. And he asked me, do you know what that makes me? I had no idea what was coming. And he grabbed my arm and he says, a damn Yankee. And we laughed, and just about every time I visited with him over the years, he would remind me that he was a damn Yankee. And he was proud of it, but he was also proud of being here in Douglas, in Coffee County. And we laughed a lot. What a gentle soul. He would also caution me to always sit on his right side, because as he put it, the other side is my bum here. His home was filled with pictures of his loved ones, and he would tell me about Martha, about Debbie and Jim, about Meg, about Maggie and Jake and Stone. Wow. He would tell me of his long history with St. Andrews and the people that loved here, that he loved here. Those people would also share with me stories about his and Martha's love and caring for them as their junior and senior warden over the years. Indeed, I am sure that when he approached the Lord, that Jesus said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. One of the pure joys that we could give him over the years, every December on a Wednesday night we would gather and go out and sing Christmas carol to some of the people who were not able to get out and about the church. And so we would invariably go to Camellia and later to Lakeside and we would sing for him. Every year, Maggie would go up to the door, and she said, "It's my job to go tell Grandpa." Did you call him Papa? Yeah. And so she'd ring the bell, and Warren would come to the door, and the grin on the smile on his face was incredible. Priceless, as they say. This year was different. As I said, nothing was going to keep us, though, from singing to Warren. Meg helped me line this one up. And I spoke to the nurses over at Lakeside Living. And not only did they have Warren waiting for us, but also all of the patients there in that back wing. And we were able to sing to them. They were lined up in wheelchairs and chairs. But the look on Warren's face was just filled with joy. And I have a picture in my mind, and I think I've seen a photo of it, as Meg and Maggie flanked Warren. And it was absolutely beautiful. As we left the center, we would then head to serenade Jake and Stone, and they really touched us all. Jim was there, Hatchong. Thank God for the healing that's taken place. But what an incredible night it was. And we serenaded them just like we serenaded Warren. Incredibly enough, the stop that we made before that was to this home on North Chester. A home where Lila Morgan lives, but somebody else lived there before. Gee, I think it was Warren and Martha, and Jim and Debbie. And ironically, where Lila lives now was Warren's workshop. What a history. Paths intersect. Does God have a sense of humor or what? He's involved in all of this. Over the years, before Warren's hearing was almost gone, Warren and I would have long talks about Jesus. He knew and loved the Lord and knew that promise that one day he would join Jesus, Martha, and his loved ones in heaven. And you know what? Warren never doubted that. Warren knew that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of all good that God has for us. And one of the good things that he has for us is in this passage of Scripture, which we just heard from John chapter 11. Most of us are very familiar with the story of Lazarus. Jesus is on his way to perform one of the most incredible miracles. And ironically, it's about a week before Jesus himself would walk out of the tomb. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. No one knew but Jesus when this took place, what was going to happen. And that sets the stage for what we heard. But I feel it's so important that we understand there are two things that we can learn about Jesus from this evidence. We see that Jesus lovingly allowed their grief, just as he allows ours. Martha came to Jesus and said, "If you'd only been here," talk about Jewish guilt, "he wouldn't have died." And what Jesus' response was, he said to her, "Your brother will rise again." He didn't say some of the things that people sometimes say, like, "Look, it's time to move on." And he didn't say, "Of course, you'll get over it," or "Time heals all wounds." Jesus also didn't say, "Well, you know, real men don't cry." He didn't say, "Real spiritual people don't feel the pain of loss." Jesus never used cliches, even those 2,000 years ago. Instead, he always spoke directly to the heart. As a matter of fact, later in this very same chapter, in verse 35 of chapter 11 of John, the most powerful verses is two words: Jesus wept. And Jesus didn't weep because he was weak. Jesus wept because he felt for their grief. He felt what was going on in their hearts of the loss of their brother. Jesus understood. Holy Scripture tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus It also says the Savior would go on to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I've got to tell you that Jesus felt their pain and experienced it with them. Jesus allowed their grief just as he allows yours and mine today. But he's with us. And more than just giving us permission to grieve, Jesus offers us something that ultimately only he can give. Hope. The hope of eternal life. The hope of being reunited with those we love, especially being reunited with him. Jesus said Lazarus would rise again, and that Martha thought he was speaking about the final resurrection. Jesus himself would be the means of that resurrection. Jesus really had the power over death. I'd like you to listen again to the words of Jesus. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Anytime you hear "I am," you think immediately of Exodus when Moses asked the burning bush, "Who should I say you are?" And he said, "I am who I am." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Just a few minutes later, Jesus would show that very fact in the life of Lazarus. But he wasn't just talking about bringing Lazarus back from the dead. Jesus was giving you and me, believers, an incredible hope by saying that he is the door to life, both a full and abundant life on earth, and when we leave this earth, a more and wonderful, abundant life in heaven. You see, when we place our faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross at Calvary, then we have the hope that he offers to all of us who take it. Wonderfully, that hope is available not just to a few, not just to somebody that lives in Douglas or Coffee County or even Pearson, maybe even Ambrose. Everyone, through knowing and accepting Jesus as Lord of your life. He is compassionate and feels our grief and standing right alongside us when we hurt. Hope is not found in the good life that we try to live. Jesus says our hope for eternity doesn't lie with us or anything that we can do, but in him alone and what he has done. And that's what he means when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I want to encourage you today to put your trust and hope in Jesus, the hope that only he offers. It's filled with grace, peace, love, and a great deal of comfort. To Warren's family and friends today, to those who worshiped alongside him and Martha at St. Andrew's, to all those residents and businesses that Warren helped to find new homes, it's my prayer that Jesus Christ will touch you and give you his peace. I would ask you, each one of you today, to place your hope in Jesus Christ, for him to help you in this life. Place your hope in him for life everlasting, and place your hope in him in anticipation of the resurrection and the hope of being reunited with Warren, Martha, and all of our loved ones who have gone before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.